Well, it is really special to have you guys here today for this Christmas celebration service. And here's what I want you to think about today. What if God could help you discover yourself more fully this Christmas? What if there's like another dimension or another level that you could live your life at? What if this Christmas could be the start of a journey of you discovering or of you rediscovering how much you really matter to God? You know, I'm a pretty introspective person, and so over the years I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what makes me tick, understand, what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, what my limitations are, what the things are I don't do that well. So I can work on those things, but also so that I can kind of steer towards and play to my strengths. I am constantly looking for blind spots in my life, trying to figure those out so I can deal with those things. So overall, when I look at my life, I think, I think I've got a pretty good read, a pretty good sense of who I am, what my fears are, what my insecurities are. Because, of course, we've all got those, right? I mean, it's really just a matter of whether we identify the insecurities and fears in our life, and we're trying to manage those, or if they've kind of got it control of us and we don't even realize it. But we've all got that stuff in our life. But I feel like I have a pretty good sense of my life, and yet I still find myself discovering and uncovering things about myself. I'll be in a conversation with someone, and I'll kind of walk away from it, and I realize, it typically doesn't happen in the middle of conversation. It's not till later that I realize this, but I'll walk away later, and I'll go, I don't think that quite went the way I was hoping. I don't think I quite communicated clearly. What do I need to do differently? And so I'm constantly learning things, and I'm sure there's still all kinds of things that annoy people and drive people crazy in my life. But thankfully, God is very patient, and He continues to work on me and develop me and chisel away at rough edges in my life. He goes shaping me into the person that He wants me to be. But as I talk about that, as we talk about to discovering ourselves, for some of you in your mind, you probably went to thinking, going, I feel like I have a pretty good sense of who I am. I mean, I know what my personality is. I've taken one of those personality assessment tests, and I know about that stuff. I know what my strengths are, my weaknesses, my limitations. I feel like I've been aware or been blind spots pointed out, and I'm working on that stuff. I know what my passions are. I know what I love to do in life. I know the things that I'm not passionate about. I know the things I hate to do. I have a pretty good sense of my reasoning skills, my IQ, my EQ, all that kind of stuff. I pretty much have a decent sense about who I am. But then there are probably others of you here that would say, I really don't know what my strengths are. Maybe you'd go as far as saying, I don't have any idea, but some of you go, I may not know what my strengths are, but I sure know what my weaknesses are. And then you could give me like a list a mile long. I'm not good at this. And it's kind of interesting how many of us are quick to give a list on what we're not good at, but we're not so quick to give a list of the things that we are good at. And maybe that's you. Maybe when it comes to the whole personality, you're like, I kind of have a sense, but I've never, a personality test, I've never had an assessment of my personality. Like that. Blind spots, I've never even thought about that. Yet some of us, if we were honest with ourselves, and we don't even really probably like to talk about this or admit this, but some of us, we struggle with some fears, some insecurities in our life. Maybe there's some scars, some wounds that have affected us, that have affected our confidence, that have affected our joy. Now, none of us have arrived, and hopefully we're all self-aware enough to know that we can all grow, we can all develop in life. But here's what I want you to get today. Jesus wants to help you experience more out of life. Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, came into this world So we could discover ourselves, so we could be made complete, so we could discover, as Scripture refers to, the life that is truly life, so we could, he came to make it possible for us to live fully alive. And most of us, I mean, we think of ourselves as being alive. I mean, we have a pulse, we're breathing, we're here, right? I mean, we eat, we sleep, we drink, we burp, we make other bodily noises and all that kind of stuff. We're alive. But there's a big difference between just being alive and being fully alive. And what I want you to get is that Jesus came into the world so we could experience being fully alive. Now, Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, one of the things that we need to understand is that he isn't this whole event. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a fable like Beauty and the Beast or Cinderella, these kind of stories that start with once upon a, what? Once upon a time. I mean, that's sweet. Once upon a time. The account of the birth of Jesus doesn't begin with those words. I mean, it might as well, to some people, maybe even to a lot of people. I mean, after all, there's this magical star, right? I mean, there's this evil king. There are these angels making these big announcements. But the account of the birth of Jesus entering this world is not a fable. It is not a cute little story. It's not a fairy tale. It is grounded. It is anchored in history. Jesus was a real person in history. I mean, the Bible itself is a compilation of historical events that took place in this world. In fact, a lot of the details of the events have been substantiated by other historical documents, have been substantiated by archaeological finds. So what we're talking about, this is a part of a history. This is real. Jesus was a real person. So I want to look at this account, and I want to begin by looking at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar Augustus was the emperor of the whole Roman Empire. This was a person attested to by history. He was a person in history that we know of. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. You see, these were actual historical people here. And these were actual historical places, towns, cities that it's talking about of that day. So Jesus was a real person in history. So what I want to do today is I want to invite you to consider the implications of why Jesus came into the world. Why Christmas? Why did Jesus even come in to our world? Now, all we have time to do is really just kind of scratch the surface on this. But I want to dig into this, the why behind Jesus coming into the world. So look at this next verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to throw this up on the screen. You can follow in your Bible. This is the angel is talking to Joseph, who was engaged to Mary. So he says, she, talking about Mary, who's going to be the mother of Jesus, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Because he will, look at this, because he will save his people from their sins. So why did Jesus come into the world? And what was it that precipitated Jesus coming into the world? It was a little word that we're uncomfortable with, that makes us uneasy. In fact, a lot of people in our culture kind of squirm a little bit at this word. We feel like a lot of times that this word is outdated. But Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, came into the world for, was all about this thing, this word, this idea, this concept, if you will, called sin. Sin. He came to save us or to rescue us, it says, from sin, like saving or rescuing someone from a fire, rescuing or saving someone that's drowning. Now, what that word sin means literally is it means to miss the mark or to miss the target. When we miss the target, when we miss the standard that God has established, we don't follow him, we don't follow his ways, that's sin. We blow it, we mess up, and we do it in our actions, we do it in our words, we do it in our thoughts at times when we know the right thing to do and we don't do it, that's sin. I mean, there are all kinds of different ways when we distance ourselves from God, when we turn our back on God, when we ignore God, we blow him off, when we live full of pride, selfishness in our life. It's sin. It's not a popular concept. But if we're going to discover ourselves, we need to get honest with ourselves about who we are, about what's going on in our lives. And the reality is that we need to deal with each of us is that we've sinned. We've blown it. We've messed up. And Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, he came into the world to save us, to rescue us from the consequences of the sin, of the wrongdoing in our life. It goes on in the same scripture. Verse 22, the next verse says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin, verse 23, the virgin will conceive, talking about Mary, will conceive and give birth to a son. And they will call him, look at this, Emmanuel. We're just saying about that. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus came to save us, but part of the reason additionally that Jesus came into the world was to walk through life with us, to be with us, to connect with us, to connect with me, to connect with you, to be present. I mean, think about that. God wants to be present in your life. And then this whole idea of Jesus coming to the world as our Savior, as our rescuer, is repeated in Luke, one of the other accounts of the birth of Jesus. The angel is talking to the shepherds who were out in the field and says, and then there were shepherds living out in the fields. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. I mean, they're like quaking in their boots. And I'm quite confident that if it had been you, if it had been me, it would be the same thing. I mean, they'd never experienced anything like this. And all of a sudden, whoa, there's this angel that's there. And it says they're terrified. But he goes on and says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. See, part of what Jesus was coming into the world to do was for us to experience good news. It was going to bring great joy, it says. Now, admitting our sin, admitting our wrongdoing, our moral bankruptcy, I mean, that's not fun. That's not joyful. But connecting with God, being able to have a relationship with the God of the universe, being able to experience forgiveness, that certainly is good news. I mean, that's worth celebrating. That's worth getting excited about. That's worth being joyful about. It goes on in verse 11. The angel says, today in the town of David, he's talking to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior. There the word is again. Jesus came to be our Savior, our rescuer. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus coming into the world was a supernatural, mysterious, but defining moment in history. And Jesus, the little baby, God in human flesh, came as a Savior. But we're also told later that he came as the bread of life. The bread of, I mean, what does bread do? Bread, it satisfies our hunger. Jesus came into the world to satisfy our deepest hunger. He wants to be the one who satisfies you at the deepest level. But not only that, we're told that he came as the good shepherd. The shepherds provided, protected, and guided the sheep. That's what Jesus wants to do in our lives. He came as the source of living water. Water refreshes it. It re-energizes. That's what Jesus wants to do in our lives. He wants to quench our thirst. He wants to quench your soul thirst, a thirst that you may not even be fully aware of, but he wants to quench that thirst, and he wants to give you life, full, abundant, meaningful life. He wants you to live fully alive. What Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, came into the world for is so you could discover yourself, so you could discover what life is really all about. And so you could discover the life that God has for you. But unfortunately, a lot of us seem to fall into the trap of living behind a facade, of wearing masks, pretending that we're somebody we're not, pretending that we're fully alive when deep down we know that we're not. What I want you to know this Christmas, you don't have to keep wearing the mask. You really don't. You can take it off and be real, because Jesus wants to step into your life and he wants you to experience what being fully alive is really all about. See, when we embrace Jesus, we discover who God made us to be. When we embrace Jesus, we discover ourselves in the truest sense. We discover our purpose. We discover how valuable. We discover how special we really are. And so what I want to do is I want to give you four insights related to the implications of why Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, came into our world. So number one, if we're going to discover, or for some of us, rediscover how much we matter to God, we need to own that we are deeply and unconditionally loved. We need to own, we need to absorb that we are deeply and unconditionally loved. Love. Jesus is this cute little baby that was placed in a manger, which was just a feeding trough. He may be really cute. We may celebrate that at Christmas, but he didn't stay a little baby. He grew up and ultimately, willingly died on a cross for our sins, actually. Yours and mine. He loved us so much that he was willing to go through the agony of this kind of death to pay the penalty for our sins, our moral failings, our wrongdoings, for yours and mine. And look at what Scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us, or he proved his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, even though we had blown it and messed up in our life, Christ died for us. Now, the truth is, I don't know. I don't know whether you grew up feeling loved or not. Some of you probably did. Some of you probably didn't. And I don't even know today if you feel loved and accepted and valued in your life. But my guess is that some of you grew up, and some of you may still have some massive deficits of love in your life. You were hurt. Some of you were abandoned. Maybe you were abused. You were ignored by people that should have cared for you. There were people that should have built you up and encouraged you, and instead they said you were dumb, you were stupid, you were ugly. I don't know what you grew up experiencing, what you grew up hearing. But I do know this. Jesus loves you. He loves you deeply. And he loves you unconditionally. And he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows about the things in your life that you're embarrassed about. He knows about the things in your life that you've been ridiculed about by other people throughout your life. He knows about the things that you're ashamed of, and yet he still loves you. And he loves you deeply. He loves you unconditionally. And when we talk about being loved unconditionally, we're talking about a love that isn't based on conditions, I mean, most of our love, let's be honest, our love is simply based, it's a conditional love. It's I will love you if. God's love isn't an I'll love you if. It isn't an I'll love you if you do this, or if you do that, or if you don't do this, or if you don't do that. That's not God's kind of love. God just loves you. He just loves you. He loves you too much to leave you where you are, but he loves you and accepts you right where you are. In fact, God will never love you any more than he does right now. And he will never love you any less than he does right now. He just loves you. You're loved by him. And let that sink in, marinate in that. You are deeply and unconditionally loved by God. We need to own that. We need to absorb that. Secondly, there's a second insight. If we're going to discover or rediscover how much we really matter to God, we need to own that we can be fully and completely forgiven. We can be fully and completely forgiven through Jesus. We can be totally, totally and completely forgiven, saved, rescued is a term that's used of Jesus. Saved, rescued from sin, from shame, from guilt in our lives. Look at this scripture. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Such a key statement. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once you open your life up to Jesus, once you receive Jesus in your life and decide to follow him, it says, there is no more condemnation in your life. Jesus forgives us for everything. All the junk, past, present, future, all of it. He doesn't condemn us or put us down anywhere. He can say, oh, I can't believe that you did that. Oh, my goodness, what are you? You're such a lousy person. No, he doesn't say that. We're forgiven. Once we're forgiven, we don't have to go over it anymore. He doesn't keep bringing it up anymore. We are just forgiven. The slate is wiped clean in our life. It's kind of like when you're on a computer and you highlight a bunch of stuff and you push the delete button. It's gone. Well, God kind of highlights everything, all the sin, the junk, the foul-ups in our life. He pushes the delete button and it is just gone. It's eradicated. With some of you, have been beating yourself up internally for way too long. I'm such a lousy person. I'll never amount to anything. God could never forgive somebody like me. God didn't want it. God doesn't want somebody like me. God won't accept me. I'm a failure. I've messed up. I've blown it in my life. Stop blaming yourself. Stop beating yourself up and own the forgiveness that is available to you through Jesus. Look at this next verse, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God so your sin, look at this, may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that word repent there means to do an about face, a U-turn. It's like you're walking one direction, doing your own thing, living in sin, doing whatever it is that you want to do, and you come to the point in your life, say, I don't want to keep going this direction anymore. What I want to do is I want to turn around. I want to follow Jesus. I want to experience a different kind of life. And we make that turn, and we turn to Jesus, and we embrace Jesus. That is repenting. And it says when that we do that, our sins, are, it says right here, they're wiped out. And we'll experience times of refreshing from the Lord. And once you are forgiven, you're forgiven. You don't have to keep bringing it up. You can stop beating yourself up over it. God has already forgiven you. What some of you need to do is you need to forgive yourself. So we need to own, we need to absorb that we can be fully and completely forgiven. But then the third insight related to the implications of why Jesus came into this world. Number three, if we're going to discover or rediscover how much we matter to God, we need to own that we can change and start over. We can. We can change and start over. But my guess is that some of you at some point bought in to the lie that you can't change. You know, this is just who I am. This is just me. I can't change anything. It's just kind of the way things up. And the truth is, maybe you grew up hearing that. Maybe you grew up hearing that from parents. This is just who you are. Maybe it's from a teacher. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a youth worker at church. They got frustrated with you. They just kind of gave up on you. Like, oh, you'll never change. You'll always be a screw up. And they gave up on you. And some of you, somewhere along the line, you bought in to what they said. As a result, you gave up on yourself. But what I want you to know is that God has never, never given up on you. And part of the very reason Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, came into the world was to help you change the direction of your life, to help you get your life on track, to help you experience a new life. Look at this next verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You see, when we open our lives up to Jesus, we are made new. We are made whole. We are made complete in Him. There's like a metamorphosis that takes place, like a caterpillar, when it makes its cocoon and then goes in, and then it comes out, what? A butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. There's this metamorphosis that takes place. In a similar way, God wants to change your life and make you into the person that you were meant to be. But you know what? We can't do that on our own. We need Him. We need His help. We need Jesus. We need His grace. We need His empowering grace to help us make the changes in our life that we can't make, but that we need to make in our lives. See, he doesn't want us being controlled by our fears or by scars from our past. Face your fears and push through them, because what we're afraid of masters us. Place your faith in Jesus. What He wants to do is He wants to help you overcome your fears. He wants to help you overcome the scars, whatever it is that's holding you back in your life. See, your faith, understand this, your faith doesn't make your life easier. Your faith makes you stronger. So we need to own, we need to understand that we can change, that we can start over. We can head down a new path in a new direction. And the fourth insight, it relates to the implications of why Jesus came into this world. If we're going to discover, if we're going to rediscover how much we really matter to God, number four, we need to own that we are masterpieces. We are masterpieces in Jesus. We need to internalize that. Through Jesus, God takes all the broken, fragmented little pieces of our life, and He molds those together and makes us masterpieces. I love this verse. I'm going to throw it up here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, a little word there, handiwork, literally means masterpiece. We're masterpieces. We are God's masterpieces. Now, you may have grown up questioning your value, your worth, your importance. But God says you are a masterpiece of immense, immeasurable value to Him. Let that sink in. That's part of why Jesus came into the world, so you could understand, so you could discover who you were made to be. You were made to be a masterpiece. You see, we discover ourselves as we discover and embrace Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas. When you were growing up, did you ever play with Play-Doh? Any of you? I see your hands. I did. A few of you did. I loved playing with Play-Doh. There are all kinds of things that you can do with Play-Doh. I used to take Play-Doh and make different things with it. You make snakes out of it, make worms. They look pretty close to the same. Just Just kind of letting you know there. I would do that. You make hats out of Play-Doh, all kinds of different things. I would take parts of chunks of it and put it together and start forming, you know, noses and ears on people. I'd build little people figurines with it, all kinds of stuff. But do you remember what would happen with Play-Doh when you didn't keep it in the container? It dried all up. That's what this is over here. This is like this blue Play-Doh, and this was left out, and it just is dried up. It's not pliable. You can't really mold it in anything. It just kind of crumbles. You can't really do anything with it. Here's what I want you to get. Keeping the Play-Doh fresh, moldable, keeping it in the container is kind of like us staying close to Jesus. If we're going to stay moldable and not get all crusty and where we can't be shaped, we've got to stay close to Jesus. We've got to embrace him. Because when we get away from him, what happens is our hearts get crusty. We get hardened. And there's not much that he can do with us. But when we stay close to Jesus, he can go shaping us and molding us and forming us actually into the masterpieces that we were designed to be. Now this here, this is not a masterpiece. This is what I just put together, the little form of a person here. I'm not really an artist at all, but God, the master artist, wants to take you. If you will stay connected to Jesus, embracing Jesus, and he wants to mold you, and he wants to shape you into the person that he designed for you to be. We discover ourselves as we discover and embrace Jesus. We discover ourselves who God intended for us to be as we discover and we embrace Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas. That is why Christmas is such a big deal. Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas, came into the world to be our Savior, to connect with us, to do life with us, to help us discover who we are, how much we really matter to him. He came into the world so we could experience life, so we could live fully alive. That's what he wants for you this Christmas. I'm going to wrap up. We're going to pray here in just a moment. This Christmas, embrace Jesus. Stay close to Jesus, to the container where you stay moldable, where he can shape you and form you into the person that you were designed to be. Take some time to reflect on why Jesus came into the world. Take some time to remind yourself of how much you matter to God. Take some time to remind yourself of who he wants you to be. And dream a little. Dream about how different things might be in your life if instead of listening to the voices in your mind that keep telling you that you're worthless, that you'll never amount to anything, that you're a failure, that nobody really loves you, that you can't change in your life. I mean, this is just who you are. What if you stopped listening to those voices and you started listening to what Jesus says about you? Stop beating yourself up. Take hold of the forgiveness that's available to you. Let go of the guilt, the shame in your life. I mean, just think of how different things could be if you were to begin to see yourselves through the lens of how Jesus sees you. That you are deeply and unconditionally loved by God, that you can be totally, fully forgiven, clean slate, that you can change You can start over. You can change the direction of your life. And what if you begin to live with the realization that you are a masterpiece? Own that, absorb that. You are of immeasurable value to God. You matter to Him. Christmas isn't just a fable. It isn't just a cute story, a fairy tale. It is an event anchored in history. And the Jesus of Christmas can change the trajectory of your life, help you discover who you really are, who you were meant to be, and help you live fully alive if you'll let Him. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer is that each of us here, that we would turn to You and that we would come back to You, come back home this Christmas, that we would discover or rediscover how much we matter to You, and as we do, that we would discover or rediscover who You want us to be, who You made us to be. If you're here today and you've never embraced and unwrapped the gift, the Christmas gift of forgiveness, of a new life, of abundant life that Jesus makes available, it's the best gift, the best Christmas gift you'll ever unwrap and get. And you can unwrap this gift today by praying right where you are. You could pray and say in your words, say, I want You in my life, Jesus. Would You say that? And I want to accept and unwrap the gift of love and the gift of forgiveness and the gift of a new, an abundant life that You offer. Jesus, I'm wanting to follow You this Christmas. Lord, my prayer is that we would begin to live our lives fully alive, discovering, or for some of us, rediscovering that we are deeply and unconditionally loved by You. God, that we would live owning that we can be fully, totally forgiven, and that we can change. We can head in a new direction with Your help. God, that we are Your masterpieces. God, may we absorb that. May we own that reality. May we live this Christmas fully alive in Jesus, owning who we are in Him. In Jesus' name, amen.